This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with composer Ian Chen, and it's really great to have a chance to meet with you and talk about your score for Fantastic Creatures.
Hi, Kate. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's just phenomenal that your soundtrack was nominated for Music of the Year with the Game Audio Network Guild, and although you didn't win, it must have been just such an incredible honor to be nominated.
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly quite shocked when I first learned about it, because Fantastic Creatures is a pretty small indie game, so I wasn't expecting it to be, you know, among all the big AAA games. And it was just an honor to be nominated with all the, you know, great composers and veterans of the game audio community. It's a shame that I wasn't able to meet them in person this year because GDC was canceled, but I hope that I will get the chance in the future.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you're on their radar now. You're on everybody's radar. And this score is such an incredible accomplishment because it's actually only your second game score. So getting a nomination like that right out of the gate is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and actually my first game was kind of more like it was the beginning of my career as a composer. So it was more of a trial thing, and I really loved it. But after that, I got into films and TV, and I never really got the chance to do games again. So this was a really good opportunity for me, I think.
Well, it sounds like it just must have been a dream project, given your depth of knowledge with traditional Chinese music and Chinese instruments and your love of Chinese mythology. And then on top of that, you're a huge fan of real-time simulator games, RTS games. So it's like the stars all lined up for you to do this project.
Yeah, when I first learned about it, I was really excited. And I was happy that I ended up working with a developer, Fabian, who also loves Chinese mythologies, and that's why he wanted to create this game.
That's just so phenomenal. And he lived in China for a little while too, right?
Yeah, he did. And I grew up in Taiwan, so I'm, you know, versed in the stories. And I used to listen to the stories at bedtime, during bedtime, and sometimes on car drives where my parents wanted me and my brother to be quiet.
Wow. So, yeah. For us, it was Harry Potter, but you know, keeping the kid quiet. What were some of the myths that you were especially excited to sort of describe or supplement with your music?
Well, in the game, there were a few characters that are some of the pillars of the Chinese mythology, including Pangu, the giant who created the world, and Niwa, the goddess who fixed the hole in the sky. So, you know, these kind of things are all part of my childhood, and I was really excited to be able to sort of paint a painting for each of the characters with my music.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a fascinating game. And I mean, just briefly, and I might not actually be describing it well, but these amazing creatures and these ancient gods and goddesses are brought into the world, and the world is dying, and it's up to the player to manage resources and bring the world back to life using whatever resources they can. And is that a pretty good summary of the game?
The story is yeah. I mean, the world is polluted, and you basically play as one of the four ancient creatures or ancient gods, and you get to decide what you want to do. You can either destroy all the other gods, and by doing so you win the game, or you can try to fix the world by basically developing technologies to help fix the pollutions that is happening in the world.
One of the things that really struck me listening to the music is how you gave each one of the gods or the factions, the leaders of the factions, the voice of just a single instrument, the black tortoise and the azure dragon and the vermilion bird and the white tiger. And hearing just that one instrument, it's almost like you're being told a story by this creature, which is so cool. And was that part of the intent with just using a single instrument?
Yeah. I mean, that was So I have to thank Fabian that he was really open to a lot of ideas that I have when I started making music for the game. And that was one of the ideas that I gave him, that I wanted to use an instrument for each of the gods. And it was kind of easy to sort of pick which instruments to use, because for the tiger, pipa is a really powerful lute that you hear in movies like House of Flying Daggers, where it's strummed really loudly, like a sort of kind of like a Spanish guitar like sort of sound. And I thought that would be wonderful for tigers. Thank you. And for the dragon, the guzheng is kind of a flowing instrument that sometimes mimics water, or ancient music that are about water and flowing. So that's also pretty natural for me. I think the only thing that was a little difficult was the turtle, the tortoise, because Chinese instruments don't actually do really well in the low range, at least traditionally speaking. So I had to sort of do some tricks to create instruments that don't actually exist.
Wow.
But if you listen to the turtle track, you hear a second Chinese violin that is lower, like sort of like a cello, but that doesn't exist in real life.
But now, thanks to technology, it does. And so,
yes.
Thank you.
And actually, in modern Chinese orchestras, they people do try to create new instruments to sort of compensate for these shortcomings. Because I think traditionally, Chinese music is not played in large ensembles. It's mostly like small ensembles. So you don't really need, or at least the sound of the low frequency is not used as much. But like nowadays, people are trying to invent and create new things, and they have created low style erhu, where they basically make the instrument bigger, and the erhu uses a python skin, so the large instrument actually uses a huge python skin, and it looks really cool.
I'll bet. I was curious about how much these instruments have changed over the centuries that they've been played. I mean, did the players that you had make the recordings for the music, were they using like really traditional instruments?
The instruments that they brought in that are used on this score are all traditional, that are the older styles, traditional instruments. But they are modern versions of these instruments that were created for the modern Chinese orchestra that uses modifications such as key switches, like in like Western flutes, where you can use it to switch keys or to create chromatic notes. Yeah, I mean the traditional Chinese music doesn't really do chromatic music that much, so most of the instruments are key specific, which means if you're on the switch key in the middle of a piece, sometimes you have to literally grab another instrument that is designed for that key. So it creates a little of a challenge for me sometimes when I make a song, and I'm not, you know, super versed in every single instrument, so I have to kind of adapt when the musician come in to and have them show me which instruments they have, because also every instrument's a little different, every musician's a little different. But it's cool. I mean, it also creates something interesting for me as well to adapt the music to the instruments as they come in.
Well, sure. And of course, you want to make a really good experience and get a great performance, the best performance you can from the artists that you're working with. And so
right.
How much of the session was them playing the notes that you had written and then also maybe improvising?
I would say that it's mostly what I wrote. a lot of the additions, like the ornamentations, were by them. Like they naturally have the kind of ornamentation that they like that they could use, and it usually sounds better than what I imagined. And sometimes we have to record in a different key, and then I'll tune the key afterwards, just because of the limitations with the instrument. But other than that, it's mostly what I wrote. I think it's because also I did a lot of research beforehand, so there was no huge surprise. Plus, I'm familiar because I used to music direct a Chinese ensemble when I was on the East Coast.
Wow!
So I'm pretty familiar with how most instruments will sound or how they should be performed.
Yeah, with your experience working with the Chinese orchestra and then obviously with a Western orchestra too, that must have made it a little bit more straightforward, I guess, or solved a lot of the problems ahead of time of fusing the traditional Chinese instruments with Western ones. And so besides the keys that these traditional instruments are locked into, what are some of the other challenges that you had to deal with when you blended, you know, Eastern and Western instruments?
I think there wasn't that much challenge when I put them together. Probably, like you said, because I had experience working with both, and I kind of knew the sound of all the instruments and how they could work with each other. I know that a lot of Chinese instruments are powerful and versatile solo instruments, and they could be easily supported by a good foundation of a Western orchestral texture. But I think the key to making them go well together is probably just having a good melody and harmonic structure that work with the instruments themselves, that accentuates the instrument's best qualities.
that's something that's just so important for anything. And how did you find your way? I mean, how did you get started with the score? I'm kind of wondering what some of those early cues were like that helped you kind of define the sound and the direction that the music was going to go.
So I actually took quite a bit of time before starting the soundtrack, just thinking about how I would approach it and coming up with melodies and ideas. And the very first track I wrote was for the main theme. Because at the beginning of the game, the world was just created, and I want a sense of exploration and sort of welcome for the players when they first got into the game. So that was really all I was thinking when I wrote that track, is I wanted to, you know, in the beginning I have this the flute come in, and then the cello sort of takes the melody, and at the end I put in a choir to sort of give a hint of what the game could be like eventually. And the developer really loved the music, and I think from that point he just kind of gave me free rein to do whatever I wanted. and I pushed the boundaries, you know. I started to do some more traditional pieces, like I think the Song of the People was one of the more traditional pieces, and also Dance of the Yellow River, I think.
Yeah.
It has a lot of percussions and the pipa solo. I mean, I just had a lot of fun writing these pieces, and I was really lucky that the game makers love what I wrote and just kind of let me do what I wanted.
Oh, that's like every composer's dream.
Yes, yes. It was.
It sounds like you were brought into the team and onto the game early enough in the process so that you could develop your music while the game was getting made as well, right?
Right, right. I mean, I had a lot of time on this. I mean, usually on TV shows and movies, we have like weeks to score a project. But on this one, I think I spent months, maybe even four or five months possibly, for the entire process. And I just kind of carried with me a recorder, and whenever I have a good melody or idea in my head, I just record it and try to bring it into the project as I go. And I think because of this, I was able to come up with some melodies that I actually really like. Yeah, so I think the combination of the freedom and the time was why I was able to make a soundtrack like this.
Yeah, and yet it doesn't sound like it was written over a long span of time. It's very cohesive, and it doesn't sound like you worked on it in a chunk and then put it aside and then came back to it. And so,
yeah, I was constantly thinking about the game the whole time. I'm sure most composers can relate when they work on a project, they just have it in the back of their head and ideas just come when they come.
Well, yeah. And yet you can't get too far ahead of yourself, because then you might end up writing music that is never going to be needed, or it turns out just not to be a good fit for the game.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe. But, you know, I think I would rather have more too much material than too little.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That would be like the worst nightmare.
Right.
Well, as a veteran of RTS games and a fan of them from when you were younger, what are some of the things in the way that music works in an RTS game? What were you able to take away from all those years playing RTSs that you could use when you were making this music?
Right. And I think for this game also specifically, RTS games that are based in history or mythology, I feel like the music needs to work in sort of a macro level. Like, it doesn't necessarily need to point out every single action that's happening on screen, because there's a bunch of things happening. But you want the player to feel like they are, first of all, they are part of an everyday struggle of building a civilization, but also that they are writing history, that they're sort of creating this world as we go. So the music needs to feel like it's part of the world that you're building, and enhances the sort of the feeling that you're part of this world that you create.
Wow. Yeah, because it definitely does. I mean, it really puts you in a very particular place and era. And I can just see, you know, getting lost in this game for hours and hours. you've mentioned that there are a couple of outcomes of the game, and things like in a lot of RTSs where the outcome of the game is really in the hands of the player. I mean, things might not have a happy ending. You might not end up saving the world. And so how did you accommodate that with your music?
This is something that the developer and I spoke at length about. In Chinese, I guess, Buddhism ideas, there is this idea of reincarnation, and a lot of mythological stories are also based around this idea that life is a struggle and a test, but through the tests, one may someday learn to rise above and achieve a state of nirvana. And after that, you'll be welcomed into what they call Sukhavati, the Western Pure Land. And this idea kind of fits into this game in that this is a 4X strategy games, and a big feature of this genre is that players often get to choose how they wish to win the game. And like I said before, you could choose to do it peacefully or through destruction of the opponents. And our hope was that the players can play the game many times and try different approaches and different endings, kind of like reincarnation.
Wow.
And perhaps once a certain goal is achieved, you'll get to reach Sukhavati, which is, you know, one of the tracks I created for this purpose. Thank you.
I love that track. I love the wind chimes in it, and it's just so tranquil. And it's a wonderful kind of wrap-up of the soundtrack. I mean, in addition to being a wrap-up of the game.
Right.
What were some of the other tracks that you were really happy with how they turned out and how they fit in the gameplay?
I don't know. I like a lot of the tracks, to be honest. I have to say, I do love these traditional tracks, like the ones I mentioned before, The Dance of Yellow River, and just because they are so different from what you normally would hear in a video game. But obviously, I also love the ones that have Western fusion styles because they're also really fun to do. Like
Hammer and Anvil is one that I just, it's just sort of, wow, it jumps right out of the speakers.
Yeah, those battle tracks are fun to do. And they're just, and it's really fun to try to use Chinese instruments to do those things that normally in the Western orchestra that you use horns to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those big moments. Chinese music doesn't have horns. It's not one of the categories. So it's fun to pick and choose instruments from the Chinese diaspora to sort of feature this part of a Western sort of idea and Western flow of music.
It's such a cool idea because, yeah, horns are really sort of the go-to instrument for, you know, noble right. action cues and that kind of thing. And I would love to talk with you about these the classifications for Chinese instruments, because I read about it in an earlier interview that you had done, and I had no idea how they were categorized. And it's just really fascinating. Silk and bamboo and wood and metal and gourd and skin. And so is each of the instruments, or I guess that's like each a group of instruments, right?
Yeah, these are the traditional ways of categorizing instruments sort of by their material. And it's not used as much in terms of creating an ensemble where like in Western orchestra, you have woodwind group and you have the brass group. It doesn't really work like that. It's more of a sort of sound choice for you. Like, for example, there's a category stone, where they use stone in instruments, and a lot of them are percussion instruments, but they have a specific feel to them that I could explore when I look for sounds to be used within the orchestra.
What I love about those classifications is they are physical things, and they seem, I mean, even though, you know, Western instruments are made also out of metal and string and wood and that kind of thing, there's just something really tactile about these categories for Chinese instruments. I think that's really
right,
neat.
Right, yeah. And you can really sort of feel them by just the way that that they're named after.
yeah, definitely. Well, you featured a cellist to, I guess, provide some of the underpinnings and a lower voice in lot of the cues. Who was that performer? Just amazing.
His name is Armin Xajikian, and he's actually a really veteran cellist here in Hollywood in the film scoring community. He plays on big films like Spider-Man 2 and, you know, the newest Lion King. And I was just really lucky to be able to work with him. I mean, I met him through work, and I have hired him before on my other projects as well. And he's always done a really great job. And because he's a veteran, he's able to add ideas to my music just through the way he plays. And he can make suggestions as we record. And, you know, a lot of them were really great. And yeah, I'm just lucky to have him.
Well, and it worked so well. His performances worked so well in the context of all of these traditional instruments, too. So that's a real testament to your writing and also his performances. So how did you find all of the performers for the traditional instruments?
Yeah, in the beginning, I had trouble because my ensemble was on the East Coast. So all my networks were sort of on the East Coast. And I even considered going to the East Coast to record some of these instruments, but I was able to find, I think through some referrals, that there is a local orchestra, a Chinese ensemble orchestra here in Alhambra or San Marino, I can't remember, on the east side, called the Murano Cultural Performance Groups, and they hold traditional Chinese concerts yearly, I think, and they have. What's cool is that they have some really highly trained musicians from music conservatories in China. And I think, unfortunately, Chinese instruments are not put on the sort of same pedestal as Western instruments. So even though these are really highly skilled musicians, they don't get to perform in the same venues or in the same way that Western musicians often get to. And I just think this is a great opportunity to feature a lot of these talents.
Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's probably going to change once people like really have a chance to dive into your soundtrack. And it sounds like such a big budget soundtrack, but I'm sure you had to make decisions about, you know, how to spend the money wisely and stuff. And so where did you have to economize with writing the music and then getting it recorded?
Fortunately, the game developer is really supportive. And I think they didn't initially plan to spend as much money on the soundtrack, but I was able to convince them, and I was able to record a lot of these traditional Chinese instruments. And actually, that is where I put most of the money in, is to get really good solo musicians and have them do a really great job. And because of my background in film scoring, I'm pretty confident in doing a pretty good orchestra even without an actual orchestra. So I wasn't as worried about that section of the soundtrack. Obviously, it would be great if we could record everything live, but that's just not what's allowed. I put a lot of money in the musicians, and I think, you know, they deserve all the money I can throw at them.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the singer in the track, The Queen Mother of the West, because it's just such an amazing sound. It's kind of androgynous. I mean, I've listened to it so many times, and I still haven't been able to decide if it's a man or a woman singing.
I'm really happy that you said that, because, okay, so first of all, that was me.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I used to be part of a children's choir when I was in Taiwan, and I think that, but that was before my voice changed. So I think that helped with having that sort of background. But honestly, when I wrote the track, I was inspired. Have you seen the Miyazaki film Princess Mononoke?
Oh, of course, lots of times.
You know the main theme, the main theme for the, I think it's called Mononoke Hime, or
yeah.
Something like that. It was a beautiful voice that I always had assumed was a woman's voice, but when I looked it up later, I realized it was actually sung by a man singer called Yoshikazu Mera, a contratenor, I believe, and I love the sort of ethereal sound that is androgynous, like you said. That is, you don't know. It feels like a voice from heaven.
Yeah.
Because you can't really tell if it's man or woman. And that was what I wanted to do with my track. And I don't know where to find this person to do it. And fortunately, I have, you know, a recording setup that of my own, so I could just try to perform it as best as I could, and, you know, edit them if I needed to, and, you know, it was pretty happy with the results.
Oh yeah.
And also, I was at a game concert for Halo, I believe, where the composer mentioned that in the Halo soundtrack, I'm sure you know, in the beginning there's the famous choir.
Yep, the monks chant.
Da, da, da. Yeah, yeah. So he did that. at the concert, he mentioned that he and some friends just sort of got together and did the choir, and I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea. I could try to do that myself also, and that's kind of what I did.
Yeah. Yeah, when Marty told me that story, I was just astonished. And not only that, he made up that theme in the car on his way over to his composer partner Mike Salvatore's house because they needed a theme like that day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's such a great theme.
Well, yeah. And so you're following in a really great tradition, too, of composers doing their own singing. Well, you mentioned how much freedom Blue Callisto and Fabian gave you with the soundtrack. But what were some of the other standout things that made this a really fun project for you?
I think that's about it. I mean, just the fact that I was able to do what I wanted to do and to try some things that are not usually done in game soundtracks or even movie soundtracks, and just have the time to delve into it and explore and make it well, this is one of the best things composers could ask for.
Yeah, definitely.
And plus the fact that I'm a huge fan of RTS games, so.
So is this like really whet your appetite to do another game soundtrack?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. I mean, honestly, yeah, after this, I'm like, maybe I should try to transition and just do games instead. It's so much fun.
Yeah, well, we would definitely be the richer for it. And Ian, it's been so much fun talking with you about this. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.